Welcome to Today's Middle Level Educator, a podcast from National Middle School Association. Today's episode features Ernie Rambo, a classroom teacher in Las Vegas, discussing the implications of school uniforms with NMSA's Assistant Executive Director, Jack Birkmeyer.
First of all, Ernie, I want to say to you, thank you so much for taking some time and talking with us about school uniforms, because it's a hot topic out there in schools, and especially in middle schools right now. And I think there's a lot of people who are kind of trying to get some information and trying to figure out what's best for their schools and if school uniforms will work or not. So first of all, thank you so much. And I want to start off with kind of an easy question, and that is, why do you think schools are considering school uniforms?
I think in middle schools, one of the main reasons is still that of gang affiliation, gang activity, at least in the urban schools. It makes it a little bit easier to say what our dress code is, that we can get rid of a lot of the shirts with the slogans that some teachers feel are negative or put downs to others.
Do you think a lot of them are doing it because of economic reasons too? Meaning that, you know, you have kids, the haves and the have-nots?
You know, they say that, and yet the kids can still discriminate. If you bought your polo shirt at Hollister somehow without an emblem on it, or if you bought it at Walmart, they can still tell. So even though we say that, I'm not sure that all of that is totally, I don't know that we can actually prove that.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I noticed that for a lot of them, it's a big school issue too. Are you seeing that, or is it more of just any school? It could be a rural, suburban, urban school. Like I said, I think of school uniforms, and I think of more of an urban issue right now, other than private and parochial schools, which have done school uniforms for years. But are you hearing of anything in rural or suburban schools?
No, but I've been locked in with urban schools for about the past 20 years. So I'm thinking of rural schools, and I don't know what it's like now. I student taught at a rural school back in 1978, and I grew up at a rural school. To me, the issue there would be one of kids need to go directly from school to doing chores on the farm. I don't know that it would even be a factor. Kids just need to be ready to go from one area to the next, and so I suspect they'd probably be dressed just to get right back out to the farm.
You know, and I found it was interesting at the beginning there, you said something about how to deal with dress code. That's really the biggest issue, isn't it, right now? Because the students come in wearing clothes that, first of all, their parents should have never let them actually leave the house with. You know, you've got girls wearing inappropriate slogans on their shirts, and you've got, you know, wearing too short of shorts and that kind of stuff. Is that really what's feeding this whole entire frenzy of khaki pants, white shirts kinds of things?
It's definitely one of the factors. Parents and teachers don't always agree with what's appropriate. And, you know, with girls in the shirts, a lot of the shirts are low cut, for example. And so we say, okay, you need to wear a polo shirt with a collar to prevent that. But even so, if you bring up the issue with a parent and the parent comes in and their shirt is also low cut, they don't see anything wrong with that style. So there is some disagreement, and I don't know that any school uniform policy would eliminate that totally.
Actually, what you said is so funny, because I've never heard that, but you're absolutely true in the fact that you said that there's a constant conflict between parent and teachers on what is appropriate dress.
At our school, we have student standard attire, and within the school district, and it's a large school district.
Who established what is normal dress code? Is it the district? Is it a parent committee? Is it a parent-student committee? Or is it just district mandated?
The school district set a school district dress code, and it differs between elementary, middle school, and high school, but still they set a dress code, and I believe it was back in 1987. They literally had to put a dress code in place. For years, it had been abolished, or there had been none in existence. So they realized, things are getting a little out of hand. They established a dress code, and I want to say it was 87, right around then. And then we came up with our student standard attire. I think schools were starting to do that around 2000, 2002, somewhere in there. Because even with the dress code, we still had kids taking things a little bit too far, or the gang issues, the colors, things that we felt were appropriate for school, things not. So with that, before a principal can say we're going to go to student standard attire, they have to poll the parents. We have to get at least, I think, 51% of the parents voting yes, that that's what they want at the school as well, before we can even consider having a school uniform policy.
Isn't it funny, though, that when we talk about student attire and student dress codes and those kinds of things, very few school districts would probably involve students in that decision-making, would they?
I think, at least at the middle school level, if we involve the students, and this is based on discussing student standard attire over the past 4 years, it's been an interesting change for them. But I think if we involved them with the policy, we would have to compromise a bit on our policy, but I think that they would be more willing to work with us on it.
And the argument that I hear over and over again about school uniforms or, you know, standard, what's the phrase you use? I love the phrase that you just said.
I sometimes interchange the two words, but basically student standard attire.
Student standard attire is that, you know, there's this debate that's out there about when you do this, you take away, first of all, adolescents' right to choose and adolescents' freedom of expression. Is that a true statement?
No, they can still speak. But then again, you know, I was going to high school at a time when wearing long hair, if you were a boy, was a big thing. And I remember the first day I was allowed to wear pants to school. So it's interesting. I don't think they lose their freedom of expression. However, I think they need to learn how to dress appropriately for certain situations. And we almost take that responsibility out of their lives by saying that they need to wear, that they can only wear certain things to school. That could be argued. You know, our principal is really good with the kids. She'll mention, when you go to Mervyn's, what do you see the people there wearing, who are working there? They're wearing khakis and a red shirt. So she feels that this also does, you know, in argument to what I'm saying, she feels that it helps prepare them for the workplace. I still think they can write, they can speak. I don't think it takes away their freedom of expression, but I think it takes away growing to be responsible for themselves.
I guess my next question really relates to kind of advantages and disadvantages. What are a couple of advantages of a uniformed school policy type of situation, but then ultimately what are a couple of disadvantages, do you think?
Okay, advantages. I feel that there's less gray area for the parents when they go out to buy clothes for school, especially with adolescents. You know, they can, if they go out with the child, which they do at middle school level, the kids will assure them, oh, yeah, this is okay. I'm allowed to wear this at school. All the kids wear it. Well, with student standard attire, they know they only have a certain number of colors that the kids can wear, that every shirt has to have a collar, that their pants have to be solid. It's less gray area, and I think that helps the parents a lot. It really does. Disadvantages, the biggest disadvantage that I find in the classroom is we're here in Nevada, in Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's a warmer, milder climate, which means the kids don't have lockers. They wear a sweatshirt over their student standard attire to school in the morning, and then they're in the classroom. Now, are we going to require that parents buy coats and sweatshirts for the kids that are also student standard attire? That's a tough question. You know, the rule says they can only wear these solid colors in school. They're sitting in a classroom. Is it warm enough? Is it too hot? Is it too cold? Should they be wearing these sweatshirts? Of course, you know, that's tough to say. So they end up expressing themselves by wearing different sweatshirts, you know, and it's interesting to see how they'll get around the rule. So it's really tough to enforce the rule when you've got a new gray area, so to speak. Denim jeans, at what point do they become faded? Because our rules say that they can't be faded jeans. And then you have the cute little decorations or adornments, you know, the little jewelry. You know, if a girl's got a little bit of jewels on the pocket of a pair of jeans, do I need to send her down to the office for that? Technically, it's not a solid color anymore. So the disadvantages are in enforcing it and in who will enforce it. The advantage, though, is definitely that the parents have a better idea of what's acceptable at school.
How much time are you spending enforcing the policy? In other words, policing it?
Too much. But that's because I feel, whether I agree with the rule or not, that it has to be followed. I would say it's a point of frustration with me in that I'm so rigid with that. And other teachers say, well, you have to choose your battles. You know, the very teachers that voted for student standard attire don't enforce it throughout the year. Some will. But according to the dean's secretary, who sees these kids when they're sent down to the office, you know, refer to the dean for not being within the student standard attire, very few teachers are actually sending kids down. There are a few of us, but most just ignore it.
Which is a whole issue within itself. You're right. It's like if it's something you all agree on and you're not enforcing it, then you're sending a mixed message to the students.
I admit it's difficult. It's seventh period when I send a student down because their jeans are torn or because they have a shirt on that's got stripes. We all know stripes are such a bad thing. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. you know, but if the shirt has stripes or something like that, I send them down because it's against the rule. And if I don't send them down, the kids are going to say, well, you sent so-and-so to the office because he was not wearing, what did they say, because he was dress code, and yet you didn't send that student, and they weren't student standard attire either. And it's, it's a nightmare. You either have to be entirely left-brained, focusing on that you make sure you catch every kid who's not wearing student standard attire and send them down, or I guess the alternative is to not send any of them down and just let the deans and the other administrators, you know, notice it.
Here's another question that I think is up for debate. We have the policy for the students. What about the teachers? Should they also comply with the standard dress code that the students have to live up to, or no?
This is a tough question because what if my colleagues are listening? I don't know. I don't know if it's a little militant part of my personality. I feel that if I'm asking the students to follow the student standard attire, that I should follow it as well. So I have what I find is an incredibly boring wardrobe of all solid colors, you know, khaki, black. Sorry about the cat there in the background. navy blue, maroon, and gray, and white. I left that one out. So I have this incredibly boring wardrobe that I will wear to school every day. They are not required to. However, I think it's neat if we can somehow support it. Then you could say, well, but we're adults. We don't have to. And I would almost say it would be neat if teachers would support it, and yet maybe we could go with something cool because we're teachers. You know, we could wear stripes or shirts without collars or something like that to kind of separate us from the students. But I still feel that we should – I don't think it should be mandatory, but I wish that more teachers would support the kids in choosing to follow the student standard attire. The principal does.
Well, because I've heard, you know, I've heard both sides of that story, you know, where people have said – it helps me as the teacher because it saves me on costs on wardrobe. You know what I mean? I know exactly what I'm going to wear every single day, and it makes it easy. And then others, like you have said, has said, no, you know, I'm an adult here. But what brought up the question was your comment earlier, which you said the principal used the Mervyn's example, correct? Isn't that
right,
what you said about
right.
You go in and they all wear a uniform? Well, it's a job. Well, you're telling the students it's a job, but you're basically saying – but your teachers, it isn't a job for you, you know. So that's where I kind of got that mixed message, and I, it's a tough. You're right. I think it's a tough one to solve.
It is, and it's almost. I would guess that some teachers would say, "Well, there's a good reason to go to college. You get a college education. You're less likely to be in a job where you have to wear a uniform every day." I don't know that. To me, that's not a valid reason to go to college. But I can imagine that getting said. I could almost imagine me saying it when pushed to the limit. When you know, on certain days.
Well, you know, and it's funny, if you go to Best Buy and you work with the Geek Squad, those guys went to college.
Yeah.
You know, and they're wearing uniform. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know of people when they retire from, like, the military, and I've talked to them about what they're going to do next. Some of them prefer to go into places where they're wearing a uniform just because they like that. You know, they prefer the uniform, and they have a lot of respect for what the uniform represents, whether it's military or civilian work. It's interesting. The real frustration with the whole issue really boils down to personal preferences.
Here's my kind of little final follow-up little question here that's just popped into my head. And you've gone through this process, and people listening are probably either going to go through this process or are considering this process. Can you give me a couple things just for you personally? And I know this doesn't represent your school. This doesn't represent maybe your principal's point of view or your colleagues. This is just you as a classroom teacher. What frustrated you the most? And how much angst did this cause when it first came into play for you?
I think what frustrated me the most was purely personal, that I like choosing what I wear, and I felt we were taking some choice away from the kids. I think the real frustration for the students at our school, and they really are still having a tough time with the student standard attire. They have not bought into it, as far as I can tell. It's just that they had no say in the matter. And it was interesting. To them, I think they would even be willing to wear all solid colors to school. I think they would even be willing to wear solid colors. I don't want to word this, only certain solid colors, be limited in the colors that they use, if they could just not have to wear a shirt with a collar.
And of course, you're talking about, like you said, you're from Nevada. So, you know, you're right, the temperature is completely different. You know, a T-shirt is probably more appropriate on those days when you go back and it's 118 degrees in the shade, you know, and here you have a kid with a nice collar and khaki pants. Do you guys allow shorts too, or no?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's another bonus contention, because the shorts certainly have to be a certain length to be acceptable in school, but yes, they can wear shorts.
You know, it's interesting. I wonder if we've gotten to the point where we try to police so many things that it just becomes more of a hassle than it becomes a real purpose. So I guess what I've learned in our conversation is that if you're going to do it, you better – if you're going to go to any type of school uniform or standard dress code, you better know the philosophical reasons why. In other words, you better truly write down, here's why we're doing it and here's the benefit. Because if not, you're going to spend most of your time trying to enforce it and also ultimately trying to convince others that it's the right thing to do.
Well, and let's look at that. What is the reason? Actually, I was trying to get my kids involved. You know, if they're going to argue about dress code, let's get some facts here. And we were told that to some degree it is done to help cut down on, once again, on, you know, gang issues or affiliations or being accused of being affiliated with certain gangs. On the other hand, we were also told that it helps kids build a sense of unity, of pride, you know, to help them feel some ownership in the school because they're all wearing similar attire. But then we're also told that kids will achieve higher if they're wearing uniforms. And as of this date, I cannot find any valid research that points that out. There have been some studies that show kids' achievement improves, but at the same time that student uniforms are really hitting their stride was also the time that we were told we had to meet AYP. So I don't think that you can single out uniforms as the one thing that made the difference in your student achievement for the year.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for taking some time and actually talking about school uniforms because, you know, I think it seems like a really great thing on paper, but I think putting it into practice becomes the hard part. And so I appreciate you kind of clarifying and talking a little bit about your experiences and sharing some of your knowledge in regards to this topic. So thank you, Ernie, so much for your time, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure getting to chat about a topic that definitely takes up a lot of my interest.
And time.
Yes, and time. Educational time.
Thank you again.
NMSA has a wide variety of research and resources available for today's educator at www.nmsa.org. Thank you for joining us on today's Middle Level Educator.